This is Sean with VoicesOfRacing.com and here with Kurt Fizikas. And Kurt, you've been racing for a long time, is that right?
Well, on and off a long time. You know, I started when I was probably 16 years old in SCCA just doing autocross and parking lots, you know, where you're just flying through cones. And that was fun. And I started to get in then to SCCA club racing after college. But then, you know how things go. You have to grow up and get married and have kids, and everything kind of has to slow down and pause. So that happened. And, you know, the quick story is then after practice marriage number one, I went to practice marriage number two and got divorced then. And I just decided I'm going to give it a try now. I've got some freedom. My kids are older. I'm going to see if I'm still fast. And fortunately, we won the national championship in 2014. And then that opened up some doors in IMSA for a 2015 ride in the Porsche GT3 Cup Car North America, sponsored by Yokohama.
Okay. So taking it back, there was a gentleman in your family, your father. He goes by Fuzz, and his first name is Dale. And he was back in the industry back in the day. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Dad was really quick back in the day, and he was a two-time national champion. He was driving a Datsun 280Z, I believe. Yeah, it was the 280Z. And then he ended up getting picked up, and back then there weren't so many forms of racing. Right now there's so many different avenues. You have USAC, you have IMSA, you have so many different club racing, Porsche club racing, BMW club racing, SCCA, all different forms of SCCA. So it's, I think the product is so watered down now. Back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, you basically, if you were going to race and you want to go road racing, not circle around in the dirt, you're going to go race in SCCA. So everybody came up through there, you know, the Unsers, the Andretti's, you know, even Paul Newman, everybody came through that. That was the stepping stone. And once you got to a pinnacle of winning a championship there, it opened a number of doors to go into pro racing at that point. So at the time,
what was his beginning? Like, what was his real beginning?
My dad's beginning?
Yeah.
It was very similar to how I started. He started club racing and autocross. And the autocross was setting up pylons and running through a parking lot. And it's a timed event.
How old was he? He got started
when he was, I think it was 41. It was late.
Okay.
Late in life for him.
What was his industry that he was already career-wise?
He was a manufacturer's rep.
Okay.
You know, he's selling products, you know, marking up, selling products. It was in the HVAC industry.
Okay.
And so he had his own company, and he was doing that, and it gave him some freedom to travel, and he was successful doing that. And, you know, came from nothing. He and my mom came from nothing and worked their way up, and, you know, we didn't have anything when we were growing up. And then they finally, you know, obviously he was doing well and doing well for the family. And, you know, it was back in the day when mom stayed home and took care of the kids and dad went and worked. Mm-hmm. And then when dad got done working, he played hard. And so that was kind of the deal. And so he started this racing, just a very similar avenue how I started.
Do you know what his first one was? We're kind of trying to take it back.
You know, I know that it was in the mid-70s. He went out to a Bob Bondurant racing school out in California to get his racing license.
Okay.
And he got his license, and I don't know, it could have been IRP back when Indianapolis Raceway Park was Indianapolis Raceway Park.
Right.
You know, the road course there, 2.5 mile road course. That could have been the first one, but most of the races, they were regional, so they had different regions. So, and if you won the region, then you qualified to run in the national championship.
Okay.
So at the top six, I believe, qualified to run. I think there might have been, I don't know, six regions. They probably still have it that way. But it could have been anywhere here in the Midwest. You know, it could have been up in Wisconsin, Chicago area. I'm not sure.
What's one of the first ones you remember going to?
I remember going to Raceway Park quite a bit as a kid. I traveled with my dad quite a bit, and I think mainly was because I was 16. I was the oldest of three boys, so I was 16. I could drive the van, and he and his buddies could sit in the back and drink beer the whole trip. So it was cool.
What was he racing?
He was driving a Datsun 280Z.
Okay.
And but So he kind of worked, and he was real successful his rookie year. He won the national championship, and
Wow.
it was a fluke. I mean, not a fluke. He was super talented. I mean, he's setting track records everywhere. He just had a really natural talent with the car. He's very helpful. He was very helpful with me, and still is, with pointers that he sees on the track. And he's 80, how old is it? 88 years old, 87 years old.
Okay.
And so, just last weekend racing at IMS, you know, he's looking. He's like, did you try? Maybe I think that line's a little too tight going into you're turning in a little too early. Try a little wider apex coming in, see if you can get and check your revs at the start finish line. Let's see if this works. And he was right. I was pulling another 100 RPM after changing my line. He just saw it from the stands. I mean, it's awesome. The guy's pretty. He's still pretty sharp at 87.
All right, so as you grew and as you started seeing him, progress in the industry, what were some of the tragic moments that maybe the race didn't really turn out as well as it should for him that you were a little worried about him?
Oh gosh, you know, that's
Were there any or?
quite. He was really fortunate, and he was driving in a class at the time. It's called showroom stock, and it was a pretty safe class. I mean, the cars, top speed on the cars. It was a stock class basically. The cars, the whole thing was, you roll the cars off the showroom, you put a roll bar in them, and they go racing. That never happens in any form of racing. Nobody, you know, everybody finds ways to make the cars a little quicker. But for the most part, you know, that early 80s, late 70s, there weren't a lot of muscle cars. There weren't a lot, you know, you're talking about Datsun with 120 horsepower, you know, top speed of about 120 miles an hour. It was a pretty safe vehicle. And he was always so smooth with the car and always out front. He was never in trouble. I really don't ever remember a time where I was concerned. I don't even remember him ever having any kind of major crash, honestly.
That's good. So as he progressed in his career, what were obviously he started out his first rookie year winning.
Right.
What were some other highlights throughout
Well,
his
then he
career?
bought, yeah, so he won his first year, and then he backed it up the second year. He had two, you know, in I think it was 78 and 79, he won back-to-back national championships. And that was, you know, back then, if you won a national
And that was
championship at
for what
SCCA,
style? For SCC.
in Sports Car Club of America.
Okay.
But there wasn't, that was about it. And then if you're going to move into anything else, then from that jump, you'd go into IMSA, where you're running with all the pro drivers. Okay. And these guys were all aspiring to go, not all of them, but the fast guys really were aspiring to take that next level. So he got picked up by Jim Truman. And Jim Truman was the owner of Sleek Cheap, Red Roof Inns. And he owned Mid-Ohio Racetrack as well until he passed away. God, it's been years. But so Bobby Rahal, I'm sure you're familiar with the name Bobby Rahal, and Jim Truman, no, not Jim. Jim Truman was the owner. What's the other guy's name that he picked up? Young guy. Shoot. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember his name. The three of them. Anyway, so Bobby Rahal had won the B Production National Championship in SCCA. My dad won the SSA National Championship in SCCA. So Jim Truman picked up these three guys that won national championships, and they were teammates for Red Roof Inns. So my dad was teammates with Bobby Rahal. And God, I can't remember the guy's name. But anyway, so they had a meeting. They were deciding on who was going to drive the Indy style car, the Formula Atlantic car, who was going to drive this Porsche D production. You know, they were figuring out who was doing what. Well, as fate had it, Bobby drove the open wheel car. My dad drove the Porsche sedan type car. And then 3 years later, Bobby wins the Indy 500. And so, you know, when they were in the same car, my dad was quicker than Bobby Rahal. So dad was always really fast. It's just how fate turns sometimes, you know. And at that point, he was in his mid-40s, and these guys were, in their early 30s, late 20s, something like that. I think Bobby was probably 35 or something like that. My dad was 10 years older than him. So that, you know, but the window of opportunity hadn't closed yet on him.
So how much longer did he go? What was
You
coming
know,
next?
that was about, he ran until mid-80s. That was about it.
So total years, what's a
Oh,
guess?
he probably raced for 15 years. Yeah,
For
raced from
15
probably,
years.
from when he was 40 to probably my age, maybe six. Yeah, he probably quit about when I about
What was
started.
the reason he kind of decided to hang it up?
You know, I just think that it's just the industry changed quite a bit, and to be competitive, and you know, people are bringing 18 wheelers with crews of 10 guys, and everybody has a designated crew chief, an engineer, and a tire guy, and I think you just got kind of technologically moved out of everything. In the car, I don't know. I really never asked him.
So how old were you when you started racing?
Again?
Was that while he was still doing it?
No, he hadn't done it in years. And so, so I started about 8 years ago in club racing, and then we won the national championship there in a 944 turbo, Porsche 944 turbo. And then in 2015, I got approached by a team by the name of Kelly Moss out of Madison, Wisconsin, and Jeff Stone asked me if I'd like to drive with those guys. And yeah, you know, I was ecstatic. They were, you know, they're one of the top teams, if not the top team in IMSA, which is the next stepping stone, you know, to full pro level.
Right.
And I thought if anybody can prepare the car, I felt like I could drive it, and I was probably overly cocky. And so, I remember I got in that cup car. To, you know, when you're talking about a Porsche GT3 cup car, that is a car that's prepared and it's manufactured in Stuttgart, Germany as a race car. It doesn't even have a title. You know, it's just a race car.
And like how much, what's the weight, horsepower?
Yeah,
what's the
200, it weighs about, fully loaded with the driver, I think it's 2,580 pounds, so okay. It's pretty damn light. And right at 500 horsepower,
okay.
So the horsepower to weight ratio is, and then the torque is about the same.
Right.
So the thing really flies. And so I got in that car for the first time, and I remember in 2015, and we were testing at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, at Road America, and I felt like I was super fast, but I'm looking around, I'm like, I'm getting my ass handed to me. I'm just getting my ass killed, and it was pretty, I understood at that point, man, I really have to work a little bit harder. I can't just drive it by the seat of my pants at this level.
Right.
And so it took a little work. It took me about a year in that car to really figure out how to drive the car properly. It's a man's car. It doesn't have ABS, doesn't have traction control, doesn't have any creature comforts. Yeah, I mean, it's all driver. You know, now I feel real comfortable. I felt real comfortable in the car for years.
So is that what you consistently race now?
Yeah, that's why I've been driving.
Okay. Yeah. How many races a year do you usually do?
16, 18, 20, somewhere in that range.
Is
16
this
to 20.
US, or are you going outside the US? Or?
They call it North America because they'll run one race up in Canada.
Okay.
So, what was it? Last year we ran up, and lots of times, which is really exciting for us, is that we'll get to be, you know, we're never the top show. We're always like a support race. Okay. So, you know, a lot of times for IndyCar, and then once a year, every couple of years, we'll be the support race for Formula One. So that's really cool. So we went up to Montreal, and on Sunday, in front of 100,000 people, you know, F1 fans are ridiculously attentive to their race, their craft, right? So we're running up in Montreal, and on that Sunday, around 11 a.m., just before F1 goes off, and I won the race, and it was awesome.
Yes,
yeah, so, yeah, I won it. So to win the race at Montreal, in front of 100 people, 100,000.
Was it a road course?
Yeah, it's a road course.
Okay,
it's a combination. They call it a street course, but it's because it goes through the streets partially, and it goes through a park, and it's kind of a hybrid road course street course. Yeah, so. But it was wonderful to win that race. If I could have picked any race that year to win, that would be the one.
What do you think your top speed and how many cars?
Oh, God, it's packed. I would say,
I know it's up and down, but
yeah, it varies. With that race, we had probably 44 cars in the race,
okay.
All one make, you know, we're all in the same, you know, one make.
Right.
And so, everybody asks that top speed thing, and I, It varies on every track. That particular track doesn't have a incredibly long straightaway.
Okay.
So I don't think we even get into sixth gear there. So I would say 155.
Okay.
So like here at Indy, sixth gear, and it's not all the way flat out because, you know, we're coming onto the road course, you know, coming in the short chute. Yeah, you know, right. We're going backwards, you know.
Right.
And so, and then we dump off before the turn, before the end of the straightaway. So there we're at 170, right, 171. So the cars, I mean, the top speed for that car would be right at about 190, and that's going to be at Daytona.
Okay.
Running at Daytona.
What's your favorite track you've ever ridden?
Well, it's not fair because I grew up in Indianapolis, right?
Right.
You know, I've been to 42 500s. My dad took my first one when I was 10. So it has to be Indy just because, I remember driving for the first time, you know, on the track. I'm on the pole. You know, we're going backwards and everybody's lined up. It was a huge field. I think there were 58 cars or something. It was just a gigantic field. So I'm on the pole. We're driving around there. And I just lose it. I'm driving on the pace lap, getting ready to take the green flag, and I'm crying in the helmet. And I can't believe it. Crew chief's on the radio, 4,200 RPMs, asshole. Check it. Just watch the green. I'll call it. So, you know, just emotionally driving that track, you know, watching it as a kid growing up there, and I'm actually driving on it. That was something else. Even this last weekend, when we were fortunate enough to drive again, and I won.
You won this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I won both Saturday and Sunday.
So kidding.
Set the track record on Saturday.
You're kidding me.
No, the car was dialed. Wasn't all me, man. That car was. You could have put a monkey in that car and been on the pole. That car was probably the best. Kelly Moss did such a great job.
Who were your sponsors?
Well, you know, I really don't have spot, you know, with this level of driving, you're paying for it. The drivers are paying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's paying for the majority of this stuff. And you're just trying to make a name for yourself to go to that next level, that pro level. Okay. And then at that point, you're a paid driver. But it's sort of like anything else, you're kind of paying your dues, like actually paying your
but
dues.
But you win a purse, right?
Like at the end of the year. Yeah, if you end up like, it's baloney money. It's like a couple grand. If you pass the most cars in the race, you get a set of tires, which is like $2,500.
Okay.
It's like, hey, thanks.
Okay.
I'd almost rather. I just, you know, it's like, don't even, it's just a joke.
Right.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, at the end of the year, if we win the thing, they fly you out, you and your spouse or girlfriend, whatever, out to Stuttgart, Germany. You go into what's the big show that they have, the ceremony? The Night of Champions in Stuttgart, big deal. You get the use of their 911 Cabriolet for a year. They give you a motorcycle. The team... I don't know how much.
You only get it for a year, they're going
to
pull it.
Yeah, they pull it. You get to use it for a year. You get to use their car for a year. So you better just flog the hell out of that thing. I mean, I'd bring it back. There would be nothing left of that car. And then there's money involved, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not enough to pay for the season, but certainly there's money involved. So, like, currently right now we're second in points. First is still mathematically.
Out of 40-some teams? Or
There are over 40 drivers in the series, mm-hmm. and it's broken into two different classes.
Okay.
And it's based on what they're running, like the 991.2 chassis. Okay, there are two different chassis in the car. It's so confusing with Porsche. You know, everybody's driving a Porsche 911 Carrera, okay? However, now there are different chassis numbers because they make variations on the chassis every year.
Okay.
So the Platinum class is driving a different chassis. It has a bigger motor, has a 4-liter motor, so they have more horsepower, they have more downforce, a little bit different aero kit, and we're the generation right before that, the generation 1 cars. We have 3.8-liter motors, we don't have the same aero kit, so we're a little bit slower than those guys. So that's the the class that I'm in is in that class. That's the car I had, and I just didn't feel like going out and buying another car.
So are you done for the year? How many?
No, we have four more races.
Four more races.
So mathematically, we were right there, and then I got the principal of our series, USAC, came over, and I got a hand slapping for overly aggressive driving, and he DQ'd me for one race. So I lost 100 points. I finished the race. I finished second race.
You're bumping and grooving a little too much.
Well, it was kind of one of those things. I've had no incidents with this particular series all year. Mm-hmm. Nothing with USAC. However, in IMSA, I had a reputation for being overly aggressive sometimes.
Okay.
Just I'm not going to move over for you. And if I got my space might get larger at times. So, so the race director there, and I butted heads many times. Okay, so when I went to IMSA, I came over to USAC. Well, he came over too. So this is stuff from 2016, 17, 18, 19. This had, I don't think it had much to do with really the contact, but I was lapping a car. This guy was,
got it.
Okay. And I had already got bumped off the track. I was leading the race and got bumped off the track. So I worked my way back up to third, and I come up on a lap car, and this guy's just, and he's blocking me all over the place. And I followed him for two laps, and then finally I decided to move him.
Okay.
So he just got moved out of the way.
Well, that happens sometimes.
So, he was very upset about being moved.
Yeah.
And bitching and moaning about it. And I just said, what are you doing? You're a lap down. Now the fourth place car is all over my ass. Yeah, I gapped him 5 seconds. I was catching second, and you just killed me. But
right.
So after that, after the DQ, I just took it out of the points race. We had a large enough lead on third that we're still comfortably in second.
Mm-hmm.
But to finish first now, we'll need some help. He's going to have some tough luck. Yeah, he's going to have to.
So the reality is, you probably would.
I'm wishing on the dude too. He's a young kid.
Probably said you probably would have been first if the DQ.
No, I would have been first, but we would still be real tight. It could be anybody's championship.
Got it.
Right now he's now has a 100 point lead, 120 point lead, or 140 point lead, and it's going to be difficult for me to close that gap. I don't wish him any ill will. I mean, Grant's he's a really great kid. He's 26 years old, and he's aspiring to do great things. And yeah, I hope he, if something happens, that's fine, but we'll see how it goes.
Are you going to race next year, I'm assuming?
I don't know yet, honestly.
Yeah.
I do this every year.
Yeah.
I get there. Sorry about that.
So we're talking about next year. You might do it, you might not. What's kind of some of the factors, just if you're really in the mood?
I've been doing it for so long. I think the thing is just, I'm getting kind of burnt out on it, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's just ultra, it's so time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
It's spring, summer, if I do it, I'll do it in a different car in a different series. I'm thinking about, there's a Lamborghini series, and it goes overseas, it goes over to Europe, and I'm seriously considering that for next year. We'll see what happens.
Would they be financing it, or would you have
to? Lambo, that's the cool thing, is they will help with this. They'll help with it.
Okay,
so it's not totally on me anymore, and that's kind of what I was reiterating to the team, to Kelly Moss, was that I'm not funding this stuff anymore.
Right.
I mean, I've done it long enough. I mean, we're right now. I put the car and the team in a position where we're going to win the team championship unless I just don't race the last four races. All I have to do is finish.
Right.
So we're in great. So the team will have notoriety of winning the team championship. The individual championships, kind of like I was explaining before, is up in the air. But it would behoove them to help me a little bit. I think everybody would benefit from it. But I'm just at a point where I'm not doing it anymore on my own. Right. And at 59 years old, I'm way old. I'm long in the tooth, brother, when it comes to this stuff.
Well, at least you've had a long run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything that you would have changed from kind of the path that you've done that, you know, if I would have gone this direction or would have started
I would have started earlier. But, you know, the thing about if I would have started earlier and dedicated so much time and effort to it, I don't think I would have been successful in my business.
Right.
And I wouldn't be able to enjoy the stuff I have here. And I wouldn't have spent a lot of time I spent a lot of time on the road working, really, but I was able to be there and raise my kids. And
what's your business industry?
The name of the company was called Nexus Valve, and I just recently sold the company. But we manufactured and designed specialty valves for HVAC, heating, ventilating, for commercial use.
Got
so
it.
Even the residential stuff, like I had a guy out here last week and I didn't know even what he was talking about. Now he starts talking about chillers and boilers and, but yeah, I'm an idiot when it comes to residential stuff.
Okay.
So I just recently sold the company a few years ago, and so it gave me a ton of free time. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I'm ready for something different.
I'll give you luck on your road ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, Sean.
You got it. We're going to close this one out.
All right.